make us, one who is able to supply our every need. Let us just come to the Lord in prayer. Let's take a moment to praise Him, to thank Him for every blessing that He has given to us, and even to commit ourselves afresh, even to Him this evening. Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that we are the living to praise Thee. And as we come into Thy courts, we have much to praise Thee for this evening. We thank You, Lord, for the breath that we breathe. We thank Thee for the health that we enjoy. We thank Thee for homes and for food. And we thank Thee for Christian companions. And Lord, we can say that in all of these things that Thou hast blessed us. And we thank Thee for Thy good hand upon our lives. We thank Thee tonight for our Savior. We rejoice that He is the bread of life. We thank You, Lord, at that time when we came and we tasted, and we rejoice that we were satisfied. We think even there of that multitude and how that You took the bread and You took the fish and You blessed them and You gave them to the disciples. And they were then to take them and give them to those who were hungering and perishing. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast given to us the bread of life. And also Thou hast commanded us even to go forth and to feed those who are hungry. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us by our words, help us by our walk to bear good witness even for Thee. We pray, Lord, that we might be useful in Thine hand and that we might be used for the rescuing of the perishing and for the building up even of the saints of God as well. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us in our walk to be encouragers, to encourage those who are weary, and to lift up the fallen. And so we pray that Thou wouldst give us grace to be useful even in Thine hand. We come tonight, Lord, and we think of multitudes and that broad road that leads to destruction, no thought of Thee. And, O God, we pray that Thou wouldst help us, Lord, help us to reach and to win them for Thee. We pray for this prayer meeting tonight that Thou wouldst be with us. We thank Thee for the opportunity of preaching the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that it might be used of Thee for the feeding and building up of Thy saints and the challenging also of our hearts this evening. We look to Thee, O God, that Thou wouldst come among us. We pray for the work here in Lurgan. We recognize that there are many in this time, and Lord, they're on that broad road, and we pray that You would help us even to evangelize the lost and to bring glory and honor to Your great name. So close us in with Thyself. Bless us now, even as we read the Word of God. Lord, open it to us, we pray, and challenge our hearts. For Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the New Testament and to the first epistle of Peter and to the chapter 4. 1 Peter and the chapter 4. Peter's epistle, the chapter 4, and we're reading from the beginning of that chapter. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the past time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow briefly again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we recognize that we are thine. We recognize that one day we must stand before thee and give an account of every word and every deed. We thank thee for the word of God, and we ask, Lord, that even as we turn now to it, that thou wouldst open the sacred page, even for preacher and listener, take away the weariness of the day, focus our thoughts upon thee, oh, that we might see thee this evening. Lord, that our hearts might burn within us. So to that end, I ask thee now for help, for I pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. The first epistle of Peter, the chapter 4, and I want to draw your attention briefly this evening to the verse 10. There he wrote, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As we come into this epistle, we find dark shadows falling across the page. Soon Jerusalem would be besieged by Roman legions, the temple being destroyed and its walls burned with fire. Many of its inhabitants would be slain. And beholding then an even more horrific day, the apostle cried out in the verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Beholding the coming of the Lord, he then set before them seven separate commands or a lifestyle to be lived, urging them in verse 7 to be sober-minded and in the attitude of prayer. He then commanded them in verses 8 and 9 to be charitable and to be given to hospitality. Reminding them in verse 10 of their gifts, he then told them they were to be ministering. In the Greek, the word minister is the word for an attendant or a servant. In other words, using the gifts that the Lord had given them, they were to be ministering, or they were to be serving one another. And the Lord's coming drawing nigh, we are not to be sleeping, but rather we are to be supplicating, and more than that, we are to be serving. In short, we are to be redeeming the time. Indeed, in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 22, we find the Lord coming into the Garden of Gethsemane, a great heaviness falling upon him. We find him there in the attitude of prayer. Then turning and instructing his disciples, he told them in Luke 22, verse 40, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And leaving the main body of the disciples behind, he then going a little farther, as it were, going into the holy place and praying, he then returning, he found the disciples praying and watching, no, but rather he found them fast asleep and waiting for the Lord's coming. Unlike the disciples, we're not to be sleeping, but rather we are to be supplicating and we are to be serving. We're to be busy for the Lord. Someone has rightly said, every church has its dictators, its spectators, and its imitators, but what every church needs is participators. And rather than resting or sitting back, we are to be ministering, ministering to those around us, to ministering to them even in prayer. And I wonder, child of God, as you lift your eyes and you behold the day of the Lord drawing nigh, are you ministering? Are you seeking to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you seeking to pray for them and to help them and to encourage them along the way? And in seeking to help them, the Lord said that He had given them gifts. And so I want to, for a short time this evening, just to think about these gifts. I want you to notice firstly here the recipients of these gifts. Rather than giving these gifts to a limited number of the disciples, he said there in the verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. In the original text, there is here no definite article. And as such, it could be read, as every man hath received a gift. And as such, he had here in mind no particular gift, but he was speaking more generally. In fact, he tells them in the latter part of this verse to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word grace there is the same word that is translated gift in the first part of the verse. And as such, the verse could be read, good stewards of the manifold or the varied gift of God. In other words, he was not speaking here of a particular gift, but rather of gifts in general. And in adding the phrase, every man, he was indicating that there was no man who had not received a gift or who had not received gifts. You see, no Christian, no matter who he is giftless, but rather gifted. He has received some type of gift or gifts from the Lord. Indeed, writing unto the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The word grace here is the same word that is translated gift in our text. In other words, he was saying through grace, the Lord had given to every one of them some gift. And enlarging on this, in the following verse, he went on to say that some had been given the gift of proclaiming the word of God, others the gift of witnessing, and so on. The point he was emphasizing was that while their gifts were not identical, yet each and every one of them had received a gift. You see, God passes none of his children by. To each he gives some gift, or he gives gifts. The Greek-American Bible scholar Spyros Zodates, in one of his songs, wrote, if you're leading a useless life, you're not being humble. You're just plain lazy. And sometimes people try to excuse their inactivity by saying, but I'm not gifted. My friend, that's not humility. That's blasphemy, or it's laziness. The great English Puritan Thomas Goodwin once pointed out, it was the custom of the Roman emperors in triumphal entrance into Rome to cast a few new coins into the midst of the multitude. And so he said, Christ in his triumphal ascension into heaven, he threw the greatest gifts for the good of man amongst his children. You see, there is no such thing as a child of God who has not been gifted, who has not received some ability or some gift from the Lord. You see, believer, tonight God has given you a gift. It may not be the same gift as that brother down the road or that sister, my, that lives a few doors away has God. But nevertheless, God has given to you a gift. He has given to you a special ability that you might serve him. And if you're a child of God and a member of his family, then you're a gifted child. God has given to you a gift, a talent. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't know what my gift is. Then I say to you, get down before God. My search your heart and ask the Lord to reveal it, because God has given to every believer my gift. Your gift may not be my gift. It may not be someone else's gift. But God has given you a gift. Search it out. Seek to use it for the Lord. Not only the recipients of these gifts, but notice the receiving of these gifts. Farther opening up the subject, he said in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, lest any of them discovering their gift or gifts would be lifted up with foolish pride and think, am I a special individual? He adds here the word receive. And by so doing, he was reminding them that these gifts were not self-made, but rather they were God-given. Just in case they imagine that they had merited them through some work or works that they had done. He adds here the word grace. Grace, of course, is unmerited favor. You see, our gifts are not human creations, but they are heavenly creations. They come unmerited from the hand of God. Indeed, rebuking the proud and arrogant Corinthian believers, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You go through this epistle and you'll discover that these Corinthian believers, they were especially blessed. They had received many gifts. Amongst the gifts that they had was that gift of oratory. However, bringing them down now to earth with a bomb, Paul asks them, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if they had received the gift from the Lord, then he was reminding them they had nothing to be proud of. They had nothing to boast of in themselves. You see, all that we have comes not from schooling, but it comes from the Savior. What we have received. Indeed, someone said that if you take two sheets of paper, write down on one sheet of paper all the gifts, all the abilities that you have got. Then take your pen and write on the other sheet all the gifts and all the abilities that you have that you did not get from God. And they said at the end of it, you'll discover that one page is crammed full and the other is completely empty. I remember reading about a missionary who was serving the Lord in a distant land. And he was seeking to give to the natives there the Bible in their own language. And of course, one of the problems that he was faced with was getting words in their language to adequately explain the Word of God. He came to the word pride. And he searched and searched for a word in their language to express the thought of pride. He finally used their word to describe ears being too far apart. And you know, the greatest remedy against ears being too far apart or too big ahead is to remember that any gift that you have is not of your own making, but it has been received. It has been received from Almighty God. You see, child of God, you have nothing to be proud of in yourself. You have nothing to boast of in yourself. Anything that you have, any ability you have, any gift that you have has been given to you of God. It's only been lent to you. And one day the Lord will ask for it back. And of course, when he asks for it back, he'll want to know how you've used it. How you've used them. All those gifts that you have, they've been given. They've been given of God. Also notice the responsibility of these gifts. He said, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word minister here does not mean to preach. Rather, it is the word for an attendant or the word for a servant. It was often used in Bible times to describe the waiting on tables. In other words, taking up these God-given gifts, they were not to be using them for their own benefit, but as the waiter to serve or to benefit others. In fact, he said here that they were to minister to each other. And you see, our gifts are given not to be used selfishly, but selflessly. They are to be used for the benefit of the saints in general. Indeed, emphasizing this, Paul explaining to the Ephesian believers why God had given to them certain gifts. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. They were given to them for the strengthening of the weak and for the building up of the body of Christ. Indeed, the man in the parables refusing to use his talents for the benefit of the kingdom. We discovered that his master was exceedingly wroth with him. And you see, our gifts are not to be used for the benefit of self, but rather for the benefit of the saints, for the building up and for the benefiting of those around us. I remember hearing of a man many years ago when he was interviewing an astronaut before he went to the moon. He said, when you get to the moon and after you've done all that you can do, how are you going to leave the moon? The astronaut said, we'll get in a lunar module and we'll fire the rockets and the engine will lift us from the face of the moon. The reporter asked, what if the rockets do not ignite? The astronaut said, well, we have 6 hours of life support on the lunar module. The reporter then said, well, what will you do during those 6 hours? And the astronaut said, I'll be working on the engine. And like that astronaut, our time being limited, we should be using our talents, we should be using our gifts to benefit, to minister even unto others. Someone has said we should not slack up, shut up until we're taken up. God has given to you a gift. God has given to you perhaps gifts in the plural. And he has given them to you not for your benefit or not for your self-promotion, but for the building up of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, we're to be ministering to those around us. And I wonder, child of God, how are you using your gifts? Have you discovered them? And then if you have, ask yourself, how am I using them? Am I ministering even to those around us? Am I benefiting my brother and my sister in Christ? But I think also we notice here the resource for these gifts. In giving them these gifts, he said, verse 10, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold there is a tremendous word. It literally means multicolored or varied. And as such, Peter was saying that the grace by which God empowers us has many, many different dimensions. In other words, whatever empowerment they would need to operate their gift or their gifts, he would give an adequate, multicolored supply. Emphasizing that, he said in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And he was indicating that if a man was called to speak, the Lord would not only give him the gift to speak, but he would give him the ability, or as the word means, the strength to speak. You see, as well as giving us gifts, the Lord gives us the grace to use those gifts. He empowers us. Indeed, speaking unto the Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he knew that the God who gave him the opportunity to serve and the ability to serve would also give him the power to serve. He would strengthen him. And as well as gifting us with the skills required, the Lord will give to us the strength required. He empowers us to do his service. The farmer going out in the autumn time, he looks at the barley field. The heads are golden. They're turned over. They're ready to be harvested. He goes out and he buys the newest, the biggest, the best combine. He gets it delivered to the field. But you know, if he has no fuel to put in the tank, it will do no good. And the Lord not only gives us, as it were, the combine, but he gives us the fuel or the power to use the gifts that he gives to us. If God has given you the gift to teach, he not only will give you, has given you the ability to do it, but then he will also give you the strength to do it. If God has given you the ability to exhort, he'll give you the strength to exhort. If God gives you the ability to sing, he'll not just give you the notes, but he'll give you the strength to do that. Oh, believer, God has given you a gift. Don't hide behind the excuse, I can't use it, I don't have the strength. God will give you the strength to use that gift, that ability for him. Then I think also we notice here the reason for these gifts. He said, verse 11, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability of God, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. They were to minister to the best of their ability, not that they might gain promotion or that they might have the applause of man. The reason here was that God might be glorified. Commentators have entered into long discussions as to who he meant when he said, to whom be praise and dominion. Some believe the whom refers to God the Father. Others believe it refers to God the Son. Others believe it refers to God the Holy Ghost. I believe it refers to all three. There was to be a giving of the glory to the triune God. They were to be using their gifts so that God would be glorified. And our aim in service must never be to promote self, but it must always be to promote the Savior, to exalt his name. Paul, writing to these Corinthians who had been blessed with great gifts, he said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And Paul exhorted these Corinthians, whatever they were doing, whether they were sitting at the table eating their supper or they were preaching in the market square, they were to be doing it for the glory of God. You see, our gifts are given not that we might exalt self, but that we might exalt the Savior. We're to do all that we do to his glory. The writer said, teach me, my God and King, in all things to see, and what I do in anything, to do it as for thee. And there, child of God, is the secret. God has given you a gift. He's given you the strength to use those gifts. And now he tells you how to use them. You're to use them to glorify God, to exalt his name. How often is that not where we stumble and we fail? We use the gift and we wait for the pat on the back. But if we do, our motivation is wrong. Whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God. Use those gifts to exalt God. The world uses the gifts they've been given to draw crowds and to make a name for themselves. But we're to do it for his glory. Then lastly, I want you to notice there was the reckoning for these gifts. He said, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They were to be stewards. In Bible times, the steward was not just an ordinary servant, but he was a special or a trusted servant. The word itself is made up from two separate words, one which means house and the other which means to arrange. And as such, he was literally an arranger of the house. And in that capacity, of course, he was answerable to the master of the house. The master would be watching. He would have to give an account to him. And in describing them as stewards, he was telling them here that the day would come when they would have to give an account of their gifts to the Lord. And receiving gifts from God, there will be a reckoning for them. One day we will have to give an account of what we did with them. Indeed, the master in Matthew chapter 25, returning from a far country. We read in Matthew 25, 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoning with them. And coming, he demanded an explanation as to what they had done with the talent or the talents that he had given to them. Being stewards, we one day will be summoned before our eternal master. We will have to give an account of what we did with the gifts, the talents that God gave us. And believer, don't say tonight, but I have no gift. You have. God didn't miss you out. God has given you a gift or gifts. And one day you'll have to answer to the Lord what you did with him. I trust you'll not be like that servant who took his talent and he hid it in the ground. But like the other servants, you'll take them and you'll use them for the promotion of your master. Someone once said there are three kinds of people in every church. There are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And there are those who don't know what has happened. Knowing that one day we will have to stand before God and that we'll have to give an account. Let us seek to use our gifts to make things happen. Let us use them for the extension of his kingdom and for the glory of his name. Oh, believer, tonight God has given you a gift, or God has given you gifts, and you're to be using them for the edifying of the church, for the glorifying of his name. And knowing that the day draweth nigh when he will come and we'll have to give an account for the talents that we have had, let us be busy. Let us use them. My, do you say I have no gift? Then get before God, find the gift he has given you, and use it. Use it for his glory and for his honor. I trust God will bless these simple thoughts even to our hearts this evening.